Lots of love and welcome to the Spiritual Sense podcast. I'm Michael McIntosh and I'm here with Sister Shireen. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing very well.
Fantastic. So today we have a very deep topic, don't we? How to connect with God in a real deeper way. And this is one of the most important topics in our life because when we connect with God, we receive magic powers. We receive love, we receive bliss, we receive energy, and we have our negativity cleared out of us. So this is the most important thing to be doing. And if we don't have that connection, and if we have some wrong ideas about who God is and what's really going on, then we can't get all these benefits. And most people feel like something's missing in their relationship, and so we're going to be diving into that today and what you can do to have that beautiful, deep connection. Yay. So,
should we start
this is
with
very
the,
deep.
Yes, it is a very deep topic. And to do the topic justice, let's just start with a very light 2-minute meditation. Let's take a deep breath in. I want you to hold that breath to the count of 4. And now release that breath to the count of 6. Now again, a deep breath in. And the in-breath should be count of 4. Hold it for a count of 4. And release to the count of 6. Deep breath in, hold it, and release. And as you exhale, you're letting go of all negative thoughts. And as you inhale, you're allowing peace to come in. So inhale, and as you inhale, peace. Hold it, hold that peace, and exhale. And as you exhale, allow all negative thoughts to go away. And let's open our minds and heart to this session. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Om Shanti, that was lovely. So, what's the first thing we need to know if we want to connect with God?
You know, most faith traditions, most all faith traditions, like the older faith traditions, right? They have a saying about God. They say that, and it varies, right? From, like, Buddhists have a slightly different saying, which is slightly different than Christians, than Judaism and stuff, right? They're slightly different. But the gist of the saying is this. If you were to make all of the oceans into ink, all of the trees into pens, and all of the earth into paper, and if you wrote the praise of God, it wouldn't be enough. And so, if there is that praise in all of the traditions, right? I'm not just talking about one. I'm talking about the all of the major older religious traditions have this saying about God. If that is true, then it must be true that that's who God is. And so we need to take the highest conception of God from all of the faith traditions, the highest conception of God, the most beautiful, the most benevolent, the most loving, the most pure, and really look at God that way. Because the mistake we make is we assign human kind of issues to God, right? If I hate someone, then I will say God hates people. And if I'm angry, then God is angry, you know, like that, right? And that's what happened in later part of the religion. So when this praise was written, right, about the, all the oceans into ink, that was earlier in any, let's take Christianity, right? That was earlier in Christianity, and later in Christianity, a lot of atrocities happened in the name of God, right? A lot of atrocities happened in the name of God. And so it's important to take out the later part of the atrocities and really focus on the purest, highest conception of God. What do you think?
Yeah, that's really important. You know, a lot of, because I grew up in a religious background, and when you study a lot of these different teachings, because God is, the word God is kind of in some ways owned by certain religions, not really, but like in people's mind, you know, where do you learn this from? Initially, it's from some religion, typically. And many times there is something along the lines of God is out to get us. God doesn't like us if you do wrong things. There's a conception that if you make a mistake, God is sort of up there in the clouds somewhere, like waiting to kind of get you, you know, like there's lightning bolts coming down, like just, and if something goes wrong, oh God, God has forsaken me. And so there's this sense that you're sort of like wandering around and there's this man in the sky with the thunderbolts ready to like, you know, and so that's gonna freak people out. I mean, that's kind of how I thought about God when I was growing up. And so you think, do I really want to connect with God? Because this, like, appeasing this egomaniac control freak, you know, that's kind of like the archetype that a lot of these religions give us. That there's a, if you were to think about God as a person wandering around, he'll be this control freak person that's wandering around going, shouldn't be like this, shouldn't be like this. If you do this, we'll give you this. If you do this, we'll give you that. It's like, so there's a whole wrong idea about God, which we have to completely clear out of our head if we want to connect with God. I was thinking about this, like in England, I grew up in England, and America, the idea of America in England is, oh God, these Americans are all so loud and obnoxious and annoying. And America is such a, like a crazy country. And there, of course, are people like that in America. But when I came to America in myself, in real life, I was like, this is not at all what I thought it was. Yeah, I actually really like being in America. So the real experience of America is different from the idea of America back in England.
Right.
And the real experience of God is different from the idea of God that someone told you about in some book somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. You know, I remember I was an agnostic, right? Before I had my beautiful experience of God, I was an agnostic. And it's not like I knew there was something there, but I was like somehow very reluctant to connect. But once I started connecting, it took me a while. It really took me a while to dissociate human frailties to God. Like, if you think about morality, right? Even like decent people really have very high moral standards, right? There are many very good people in the world, and they have very high moral standards. For example, if someone comes and tells you, you kill that person, and if you kill that person, I will take you to heaven. A decent person wouldn't do that, right? And so when someone says, oh, God asked me to kill, and if I kill, then I go to heaven, then if even a decent person wouldn't do it, then why would God do it? Because God is not above mundane morality. Right? He would be the highest, most beautiful, benevolent creature. He's not going to actually do anything like that. He's not going to ask you to do something like that. And he is a, we can't say God has morality, but he's definitely not going to do immoral things like that. And so to really understand God outside of the context of human beings,
That's a good point. We have to sort of put the whole category of people and their bad behavior in a box and say that's got nothing to do with God. That's entirely Absolutely. Human beings and ego and all that stuff. And God is an entirely different thing who is not to do with that. And like even, for example, a good person can forgive somebody. They'll say, you know what, someone made a mistake, they did the best they could, I can forgive them. Why would God not be able to forgive somebody? If a person can forgive someone, why would God not forgive someone?
Absolutely.
If human beings can give other human beings another chance, why would God not give another chance?
Absolutely, you're right. You know, I was thinking, actually, there's no question of forgiveness for God. God doesn't think that way. He's above these things. He's not sitting there and thinking, oh, I forgive you. It's too human. That's too human. Forgiveness is a very human quality. We have to see God above human qualities, right? There's no duality like that. Not forgiving, forgiving. There's no duality with God. God is very neutral, very loving, very compassionate, ocean of love, ocean of compassion. And so he's not thinking in those terms. What's it to him? Like, whatever you do, what's it to him? It's your karmas that will come back to bite you. It's nothing to him, really. He's just there to give you love. Why will he think of, oh, can I forgive, can I not forgive?
So, yeah, so a lot of this connection with God is about removing these wrong ideas out of our whole thing. And one of the easiest ways to do that I've found very helpful is to, first of all, remember that I am not this body. That's one of the most important things. We've talked a lot about this, that we're spiritual beings. And then to go in our consciousness, to go beyond time, because we're spiritual beings beyond time. We're in a body now, but we used to be somewhere else. To go back into the light, our home, where we come from, and to experience being with God before anything happened. Because otherwise our sense of who we are and our relationship with God is all tainted by everything that we've gone through and all of our stuff and all these weird ideas. So we kind of have to go back in time in a way, like before you were born and before you came in the world, many lives back, and you go back home into the light. And that is our connection with God, in before everything happened, in the light. And so there's nothing that we've ever done wrong to even have any weird issues about in the first place. And then we can connect with God in a very natural, pure way.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You know, another way that I've noticed is in day-to-day life. Like, I use God in my day-to-day life, right? This is one of my main things. I always feel like, when other religions appropriate God, right? God is for, there's only one God, right? Especially in the Brahma Kumaris, our deep understanding is that there is only one God, and that God is the same for all religions. Whatever you call him, that's fine, but there is only one God. And so for me, when, like, in my day-to-day life, when I'm going through my day-to-day life, I always have these working assumptions or premises about God, right? Like, if I think, okay, one of the premise would be, he's the ocean of love, he's the benevolent one, right? Or Satyam Shivam Sundaram, that he's the truth, he's... Shivam is benevolent, he's constantly benevolent, and he is beautiful, right? He's constantly truth, he's constantly benevolent, he's beautiful, or he's the ocean of love. I take these working assumptions, and what I do is I start experimenting with these working assumptions. Okay, God is always benevolent. So there is not going to be one thought that God has that is not benevolent. So it'll always be, let there be immediate benefit for all. Right? That's the thought God has. Let there be immediate benefit for all. And he's the ocean of love. So there's never going to be one thought that is not love. And so I don't even like to use the word unconditional because it's a double negative. His love is pure. His love is generous. His love is altruistic. His love is, you know, all-encompassing. And so that love that God gives us. Like in my day-to-day life, I take one aspect and I keep remembering God in that aspect. Right? Like if I remember Ocean of Love, then I think of all these aspects of love of God. If I'm remembering Him as Satyam Shivam Sundaram, then I'm thinking of all of these aspects of God as Satyam, Truth, Shivam, Benevolent, Sundaram is beautiful. So I'm thinking about all of these things. And so to take something, some praise of God and really go deep into it. And what I've noticed is it's not just an intellectual exercise that happens. It really touches your heart. And also, if you bring this remembrance of God to any situation, it gets resolved much faster. That's the beauty of God's vibration. You bring those vibrations down and things get resolved much faster. You get clarity, you know, whatever is, if there is a conflict, the conflict gets resolved. All of those things happen.
Yes, true. God is one of God's titles is the remover of sorrow and the bestower of happiness, right? That's one of my favorite titles. So he pulls out the pain that we have in us. So we all have pain in our heart somewhere, and he pulls it out, and then he replaces it with happiness. And how I've personally experienced this is that when we release something, then that creates space for something new. You know, our heart has a certain amount of space in the heart, and there's already things in there, and so we have to get rid of some of the junk, some of the pain, and as soon as that space opens up, then it gets filled in with love and peace. And so our job is to, you know, be open, take it away. You know, I'm giving it up. I'm willing to let it go. And as we say, I'm willing to release, then we can receive, you know. So we give up. I mean, another thing interesting with God is that with people, you have to, you know, give them something good and they give you something good back. But with God, he says, give us all your junk and I'll give you good stuff back, you know. So we can just... He wants our sorrow. Isn't that interesting, right? So he wants to take it all away and then he replaces it with joy. So that's the best deal in the world, really. Think about
Absolutely,
it.
Yes.
It's like giving someone your trash can full of stuff and then you get gold bars in return. You know, it's a very interesting, unweighted...
Right. But there is a certain reciprocity, right? It's not like you can't just randomly show up and say, okay, here is my sorrow, now give me. First, like what you just said, something you said very beautiful, yeah, is I have to be willing to give up my sorrow.
Right.
I have to be willing to give up my sorrow. If I keep holding on to it, then he can't do anything about it because the cup is really full.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was thinking about God is... that I have to see myself the way God sees me. Not the way human beings see me, not the way I think who God is who sees me, but actually, how does God see a human soul? How does God see me, right? Let's get to that. How does God see any human soul? First, that they are souls. God's connection is only with the soul, it's not with the body. That's why he's universal, right? Universally, he can be God to every human being because if, let's say, he's connecting with the body, then it would be, oh, God only likes Indian females, right? But that's not the case. Or God only prefers, you know, white American men. Or that's not the case, right? God, he doesn't have preferences like that. It doesn't matter who you are, what gender you are, what race you are. It doesn't matter any of those things. God is seeing you as a soul. And because God is seeing you as a soul, you have to see yourself as a soul. So that is one, I feel, that we have to really see ourselves the way God sees us. And the first thing that God sees is the soul. And the second thing is he always picks on what are our gifts. And that he's seeing us in our highest self. He's not seeing, oh, I made this mistake, that mistake. No, he's seeing us in our highest self. And so how can I really see myself in my highest self? How can I see myself the way God sees me?
That's so beautiful. And that's why it's very helpful to imagine going back in time before you were born, before anything happened, because our self-image is tainted by our experiences in life. And so if you imagine, go back in time, back, so you erase all your memories, and then you go all the way back before you got onto the planet, and then you go back into the light, then all you are is pure divine consciousness, and God's connection is just on a completely pure level without anything to do with anything else. And that's such a wonderful thing. It's like, I was thinking about this morning, it's like going beyond the clouds of time and the clouds of negativity. Like once you get above the clouds, then the sun is shining. So we're talking about how to have this connection with God. God is like the sun, and the sun is always shining, but we might be under the clouds, and we might say, oh, God doesn't like me because I'm not in the sun. The sun doesn't shine on me. But the sun will shine on you, but you need to go above the clouds. And the thing is, the soul can fly, right? So we can fly above the clouds in our mind, go back in time, go above the clouds, and then it's always sunny. So when we're not feeling that love and peace, the reason for it is because we're down below thinking, oh, I'm a bad person, I did this and I did this, and all whatever things are going on. And that's why we can't have that connection. So soul consciousness going up, you become aware that you're a soul, then you go above the clouds, and then you go, here I am. And my experience is like, it's like I have this feeling like God is saying to me, welcome back, you know, where were you, sort of thing. Not in a bad way, but like, right. You're always welcome. You just have
absolutely,
to go.
Absolutely. You know, another thing which is very important for a connection with God is to have relationships. Mm. And it could be any simple relationship, right? It could be as a parent, it could be as a friend, it could be as a teacher, as a guide. Many people say, oh, but I didn't have very good parents, and so I don't want... It's fine. Just as a friend is good. I can't relate to God as a friend, because God is available as a friend. And or even as a guide, you know. So I always, these days for me, God is this totally benevolent friend and guide. Like, he really is guiding me. And it makes remembering God and understanding God easier when you come into a relationship. And again, you have to take out all of the human characteristics associated, right? The highest conception of God. Like, as a friend, he would be absolutely loyal. He would, you know, I'm saying he, but it's a higher power. God doesn't have a gender. And so however you want to address God, or, you know, divine source, whatever you want to use the word. But this... the friend is like, there is this, that he's there for you, right? Loyal, completely there for you. He's listening to you. He's never having an off mode, you know, all of those things. And so it's really important. And guide also, that his guidance is so important in our lives these days. And so to understand God and to connect with God as a relationship, pick a relationship, and it becomes a lot easier, a lot easier.
Yeah, that's right. And a relationship that you resonate with, you know, in your heart. Because remember, relationship with God is in the heart. God, knowledge, this is a nice expression, knowledge is in the head, but God, the divine, is in the heart. Right, this is very important. So you're connecting from here, not from here. You know, that's a big deal. And another thing that's very important is that we have a free training about how to connect with God in much more detail, which we can't talk about here because we haven't got enough time, which we have a link in the description, which we share about who God is in more detail, and free meditations, and a list of all the titles of God. Is very, very interesting. How to connect with God in different ways, in different relationships. We have all this in great detail, just so you know, and you can access that in the description. because this is a very, very, very deep and profound topic.
Yes, it is a very deep and profound topic. You know, I was thinking about connecting with God, and I was thinking how we seem to give priority to so many things in our life. So many things, right? Everything is a priority. You know, and even if we take like half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening, and just take, be very quiet, become soul conscious, don't think of your body, don't think of the labels of the body, don't assign labels to God, and just as the supreme soul, soul to supreme soul connection, just sit and be very quiet and connect, and you will see such a huge difference in your life. Like, you will really see such a improvement, like your quality of life will improve so much. Just very quietly, just you, like, we don't take time for ourselves. Just ourselves, not the label, not as a mother, not as this, not as that, just as a soul in connection and communion with the Supreme Soul.
It's the best use of time. And one of the magical things that we learn about this is that we have multi-millions every breath in remembrance, right, of God, because this is spiritual wealth we're receiving, right? We do so much to generate money and to do, so we get money so we can buy stuff, so we can have things, so we feel better. But when we connect with God, we just bypass this whole long line of annoying things and get to the wealth, which is the experiences, the freedom, and it changes our life in such profound ways. So what could be more important than that, realistically?
I know, right? What can be more important than that?
Yeah. So just to summarize, we're keeping these podcasts a little bit shorter these days because we know people are busy. But just to summarize, God is not who we've been told he is by a lot of these different paths, in the sense that these bad ideas about people, projecting people's bad behavior on God, that has to stop. God is not angry and negative and waiting to get you or anything like that, punish you. God is the purest, the highest, the most lovely, the most sweet, the best of the best, is in a category of one. And we can have a relationship, we can give God our pain and he'll give us happiness. It's just the best thing ever, and we highly recommend you check out this free course. When we say it's free course, by the way, I've heard people say, oh, but are you trying to upsell me something? You're going to, no, we're not trying to sell you anything at all. This is, everything is completely free. There's no upsells. We're not asking for any money about anything. This is such a valuable course. We just wanted to give it to everybody.
And
so
also,
you can access that in the description.
It's good to tell everyone the reason why, right? It's our spiritual principle that we don't charge. It's our spiritual principle we don't charge. We hear it in our lessons all the time, including this morning, is you don't ask for money. You don't do fundraising. That's our spiritual principle because it has to be available for everyone. Blessing,
okay,
Michael.
Blessings.
All right, pick a number.
74.
Perseverance. You undertake every task with joy and a sense of purpose. Your enthusiasm turns even the most mundane chore into a labor of love. No task is too big or small. Each receives your full attention and is completed with heartfelt commitment. If you have this kind of heartfelt commitment with God, so many benefits.
Yeah,
untold wealth, right? Untold wealth.
Infinite wealth, infinite bliss. So thank you, Shireen, for your lovely presence, as always.
Thank you, Michael. And it's always a pleasure being here with you.
It's my pleasure. And for those listening, you're welcome to check out the next video. We have another video related to this session you can jump into next. And check out that free training on how to connect with God, how to connect with yourself, how to understand the wonders of life. And we will connect with you next time. Lots and lots of love. Om Shanti.